On this ninth day of October 2011 in San Diego, we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, General History, Chapter 25, The Three Modes of Nature and Beyond. Texts 9 through 12. Purusham sattva-samyuktam
Purusham sattva-samyuktam
Anumiyachamadibihi
Anumiyachamadibihi
Kamadibivajoyuktam
Krodhadyaistamasayutam Krodhadyaistamasayutam
Purusham sattva-samyuktam
Purusham sattva-samyuktam
Anumiyachamadibihi
Anumiyachamadibihi
Kamadibivajoyuktam
Kamadibivajoyuktam
Krodhadyaistamasayutam
Krodhadyaistamasayutam
Translation: a person exhibiting qualities such as self-control is understood to be predominantly in the mode of goodness. Similarly, a passionate person is recognized by his lust, and one in ignorance is recognized by qualities such as anger. No purports here. Yada bhajati mam bhaktya nidapeksha svakarmibhihi tang sattva prakatim vidyat purusham striyam eva va. Any person, whether man or woman, who worships me with loving devotion, offering his or her prescribed duties unto me without material attachment, is understood to be situated in goodness. Yada ashisha ashasya mam bhajeta svakarmabihi tam rajak prakatim vidyat hingsam ashasya tamasam. When a person worships me by his prescribed duties with the hope of gaining material benefit, his nature should be understood to be in passion. And one who worships me with the desire to commit violence against others is in ignorance. Sattvam rajastama iti guna jivasya naiva me chitta ja yaistu bhutanam sadjamano nabadhite. The three modes of material nature, goodness, passion, and ignorance, influence the living entity, but not me. Manifesting within his mind, they induce the living entity to become attached to material bodies and other created objects. In this way, the living entity is bound up. Purport. The living entity is the marginal potency of the Supreme Lord, having the tendency to be overwhelmed by the Lord's illusory material energy. The personality of Godhead, however, is the absolute controller of illusion. Illusion can never control the Lord. Thus, the Supreme Lord, Sri Krishna, is the eternal object of service for all living beings, who are eternally servants of the Lord. The three modes of nature manifest within the material energy. When a conditioned soul adopts a material mentality, the modes exert their influence within the jurisdiction of that mentality. But if one purifies one's mind in the devotional service of the Lord, the modes of nature can no longer act upon him, since they have no influence on the spiritual platform. Om jnana timarantasya jnananjana shalakaya chakshu unmilitam mena tasmai shri gurave namaha. I was born in the darkness of ignorance. My spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada, opened my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge. I offer my humble obeisances unto him and all members of Sri Parampara. Krishna is continuing to discuss the three modes of nature. Here he's giving a little more. The first verses we read, how to recognize those modes. Self-control. One who has self-control is understood to be predominantly in the mode of goodness. So when the mode of passion infects one is predominantly controlled by that, what's one of the symptoms? Uncontrollable desire. Uncontrollable desire. There's never enough things. There are never enough things to satisfy one's lust. And even if you get something, still the endeavor goes on to get more and more and more. That's why it says that one of the effects of a rajoguna, mode of passion, is greed. Is that it's just like a fire that keeps expanding and it's never satisfied. So clearly self-control is exactly opposite to that. So if one exhibits that quality of self-control, controlling the mind, controlling the senses, then you can see that the mode of goodness is prominent. Passion, person recognized by lust, one in ignorance is recognized by qualities such as anger. So you can see there's a progression there. You remember that those verses in the second chapter? Dayadovashi yanpungsa, sangasteshi bajayate, sangha chandayate kama, kama krodo bajayate. So if one is just peacefully sitting, but then something gets his attention, something that's pleasing to the senses. So you're meditating, dayato, you become absorbed in that object, and that's called sangha. It's interesting that sangha means association and also attachment. If you associate the mind and the senses with the things that are materially attractive, you'll become attached to them. That's the whole idea. And then from that attachment, that sangha, comes lust. That's a very strong desire, you know, frankly uncontrollable desire to enjoy. But it's inevitably frustrated. There's never enough satisfaction. Even if you get the object of your satisfaction and enjoy it, soon it becomes stale, you know. So they have to go on again, and then eventually you get frustrated. It's not available, or someone takes it from you, or it's threatened. Anger. So you can see there's a slippery slope down there. You may begin in the mode of goodness. You're just watching and looking at things. Something gets your attention, right? So then you get into mode of passion, takes over. You want it. Then you actually get it, you're embedded in the mode of passion, but then you lose it, or someone threatens it, and you're in the mode of anger, mode of ignorance with anger. So these modes, it's just like there's a constant struggle between them, you know? Then if one gets in the mode of ignorance, say, oh, I gotta clean up my place, I gotta get my act together, you know? And you make an effort, like psychology. You know, there's so many people, psychiatrists today, no more talking cure. You go to a psychiatrist, they listen to you for 5 minutes, give you a pill. Because they have to cycle through so many patients, you know, to make any money. You know, you sit for someone with you know, for 50 minutes and get maybe $50. But if you get 10 patients in 1 hour and each one is giving you, you know, $25, $30, $40, you make much more. So, but the idea is that trying to bring you out of generally the mode of ignorance into the mode of passion. If someone is really into enjoying and he's working hard and he loves his family, you know, and this and that, oh, this person's normal. He's normal. But if someone is depressed and angry and confused, and, you know, oh no, I'm not good. Give him a pill. Try to get him up to the mode of passion. This is what the psychology is. Nobody's talking in the mode of goodness, self-control, you know, thinking about philosophy. That's not what they're trying to do. So then he goes on, and then it's interesting, man or woman, that's right in the Sanskrit, purusham striyam, you know. Now, it's true, you know, this is an important point, that whatever body we have or whatever situation we're in, if we're not fixed on transcendental thought, if we're not meditating on Krishna, we will be affected by that. You will be affected. So if you don't know anything about the modes, you don't know anything about the dangers, then you'll wander in, you know, to like a bar somewhere, or let's go to a club tonight, you know. And before long, the pounding music and the drugs and the drink, whatever, you're deeply in the mode of ignorance. And you get attached to do it again. Then you're in that mode. Then that becomes attractive to you. You know? A devotee will see that, of course, you know, we walk by it every Friday night, you know. Those places are deeply in the modes, you know. But who's attracted? I'm not. I mean, is anyone attracted? Oh, I want to leave the party and go into that bar. You're protected, you know. So the whole idea is that you want to, from understanding these modes and how they affect us and the dangers of them, because if you're deeply in the modes, The whole idea of self-realization, the whole idea of philosophy doesn't even appeal to you. It's just like, well, you know, where's the pleasure? Or where's the means by which I can get pleasure later? Oh, I got to go to work. Okay. That's also the mode of passion, working very hard to get the money to buy the sense gratification. You know, that's the normal idea. And then what happens when the job is gone? Oh, lamentation. Lamentation is another symptom of ignorance. Lamentation and illusion, hankering and lamentation, take a pill, lie down, give up. You know, that's all mode of ignorance. So the idea is to cultivate the higher modes for the purpose of transcendence, transcendental realization. So anyone, man or woman, who worships me with loving devotion, offering as a prescribed duties unto me, is understood to be in goodness. Now, it's interesting. This is three ways of worshiping Krishna that's also in the modes. This is worship of Krishna in the mode of goodness, offering prescribed duties unto me without attachment. In other words, selflessly, ahoituki, just for Krishna's pleasure. This is in the mode of goodness and ultimately pure goodness. But you can also worship me to gain material benefit. People do it all the time. That's in the mode of passion. And one who worships with the desire to commit violence against others is in ignorance. I knew a person who wasn't chanting Gayatri for a long time. And he said, oh, I should start chanting Gayatri. Because then, as a Brahmin, that my enemy will have offended a Brahmin, and then Krishna will smash him. In other words, it didn't really work. You can't really do that for long. But that was the idea. It happens. So the motive by which we worship Krishna, this is like a central point of our philosophy. Ahoituki. How many times have we heard that word? Ahoituki, ahoituki. It comes up again and again. And it's expanded on. Anya bilashita shunyam. Free of all other desire, except to please Krishna. This is kind of a central verse for our whole sampradaya. It was written by Rupa Goswami near the beginning of his Bhakti Rasamrita Sangha. Anya abhilashita shunyam, jnana karma dhyanavratam. Jnana here refers to liberation. Desire to simply get liberation. Karma, anything material, material sense gratification, etc. Adi, not covered over. See, the Krishna worship is all purifying, but you can cover it over, with your material desire, and then you won't get the real benefit of worshiping Krishna. You may or may not get the result you're praying for materially, but whether you do or not, you're not going to be really getting the ultimate benefit of worship of Krishna. So he's giving the different modes of worshiping him. Now, this verse that had the purport. So here's interesting. First of all, Krishna is beyond the modes, right? We know that. He's always beyond the modes. So if we become Krishna conscious, after all, the modes are arising from the mind. If the mind is on Krishna, then one will be able to transcend the modes. This comes up again and again in Bhagavad Gita. Daivyesha gunamayi mama maya dodatya. That this maya energy is composed of the material energy, composed of the modes of nature. Daivyesha, he calls it daivi because it's coming from Krishna. It's also divine. Mama maya dodatya, but it's impossible to cross beyond them, to transcend on one's own. Duratya. This is the nature of the material energy. We are very minute, infinitesimal. We're prakriti, we're energy. By nature, we're transcendental to these modes. That is our constitutional position. But as soon as we detach ourselves from Krishna, the infinite and all supreme great fire, the source of all energy, we detach ourselves artificially by turning our back on him, by forgetting him, then our protection is gone. And we're at the mercy of these modes. We're at the mercy of the material energy. We're overwhelmed. Birth after birth, rising and falling, in different modes of nature, different species, without an inkling, completely in ignorance as to our real nature. So this verse is very important, 7th chapter, text 14, that one who surrenders unto me, but one who surrenders unto me can easily cross beyond it. So what does that mean? The first thing is that surrender is thinking of Krishna. That's the first part of surrender. That's essential. And we see, if one is really in Krishna consciousness, if one is thinking of Krishna absorbed in the holy name and service, then you can walk into a bar and not be affected. You're protected by those modes. And the devotees did that. Christmas marathon, they would go and collect in Las Vegas, and then just walk into the bars, sell books even to people, because you're protected by Krishna consciousness. what to speak of, you know, being in the temple. So, and then again in the 14th chapter, which is all about the modes of nature, of the Bhagavad Gita, all about the modes of nature, after describing similar to this, different symptoms of the modes, different destinations for those who pass out of the body in different modes, then, Krishna says, well, one should transcend the modes, and Arjuna asks, what are the symptoms of one who transcends the modes, and how can one transcend it? He wants two questions. So Krishna has a couple of verses describing those symptoms or characteristics. And the basic, I don't know this by heart, but the basic theme there is the word tulya. Tulya means equal. Equal to friends and enemies. Heat and cold. Pleasure and pain. I think the golden stone thing again. In other words, you're not affected by the dualities of this world. That's the symptom of one who's transcended the modes. And then the key answer, how does one transcend the modes? Guess what? By devotional service. Mam cha yo abhivichare nam bhakti yoga na sevate sogonan samatita etan brahma bhuya yakalpate. This is the Brahman platform, the Brahma-Bhuta platform. But that word avibhicharina is very significant. It means without deviation, without any gaps. Avibhicharina, bhakti yoga na sevate. One transcends the modes and come to Brahman. And what is the nature of that platform? Brahmanohi pratishtarham amitastavayasita shasvata sacha dharmasa sukhasyakantikasicha. So he says, first of all, I'm the basis of that Brahman. This is a really important verse for combating the Mayavadis. There's no way of getting around, it's a very simple statement. Brahmanahi pratishta aham. I am the pratishta. I am the basis of that Brahman. So if you achieve Krishna consciousness, you automatically achieve Brahman consciousness. But what's the nature of this? Brahmanohi pratishtama amritasyavya tashita. It's full of nectar and eternal. Eternal amritasyavya shastrata sacha dharmasya. And it is a constitutional position of the living being. That's our normal state. This is abnormal, to be battered around by the modes of nature. This is not, that's why we're never comfortable here in the material world. You may think you're comfortable for some time, but the next thing, something happens, like time, like passage of time. Shastra-tasya dharma, sukhasya ikantika sacha, and ultimate happiness, bliss, sukhasya ikantika. Antika means the end of all happiness, culmination. So, that's what we should strive for. So it's important to see these modes, because what happens, it's like an infection. It's like an infection. You get infected by the mode of ignorance. And then all the things go with it. Certain kind of food, certain kind of music, certain kind of association, everything. And then that's your habitual, activity. And then you realize, oh, this is self-destructive. Sleeping all day at my place. I don't have no job, I can't, I got to get out of it. So then, if you have some kind of willpower left, you can maybe rise up a little bit to the mode of passion, clean yourself up. But you're still habituated to the mode of ignorance. If you hang out with somebody who's in a, come on, let's have a few beers, forget about it. Oh, back, you fall back there. It's just like that, Whereas someone, say, in the mode of goodness, vegetarian, likes to go listen to Mozart, this and that. No way, I'm not going to hang out with you. You're repelled by that. That the mode and everything that goes with it, the foods, It's like as devotees, I think most of us, at one point we're meat eaters, and you didn't think twice about it. That's just what you do. You're hungry, you get a hamburger. It's cool. Let's go. But then you change your lifestyle, It's not just the knowledge, but it's a visceral change of what you think is pleasing or not. And it's just like, ooh, I would never think about it. One thing I never had, I can honestly say, is lobster. That just, I couldn't even believe. I was gonna eat the cooked mucus of a crustacean like that. No, thank you. Somehow or other, I avoided that. But that's thought to be a very high class thing, right? You get accustomed to that. Oh yeah, let's go have some lobster. So you see how you get covered. So as devotees, we're constantly trying to. Cultivate the mode of goodness, which is a platform. That's mentioned here. Did we get to that verse yet? Very important verse. Yeah. You should understand that this situation, when the consciousness is clear, the senses are detached from matter, one experiences fearlessness within the material body, detached from material mind, you should understand that this situation to the predominance of the mode of goodness in which one has the opportunity to realize me. Becoming attractions, this is text 16. Very important. So the mode, you know, keeping clean, regulated eating and sleeping and everything that we do, that's mode of goodness as a platform by which you can be Krishna conscious. That's why it's so important. A Brahminical standard. Prabhupada talks about that all the time. Try to create Brahmins. And the raw material, doesn't matter where you're coming from. If you surrender, if you take the process, you can be purified very quickly. This is the whole thing is a purification process. Cheto darpana marjanam. We're already, this is part of our philosophy, we're already there in the spiritual world. We just can't see it. Goloka Vrindavan is all-pervading. It's a straight quote from the Chaitanya Charitamrita. That means he's here now. Just like Krishna's in our heart. So you think he's alone? He's there with the whole spiritual world. There's no question of space. There's plenty of space. There's no consideration of space and time when you talk about these spirits. So the spiritual world is within us. So why are we morose? All we have to do is follow the process by which we can perceive, we can experience what's already there. Even on the material plane, you can see that that's what's going on. When they increase the ability or the resolution of the microscopes, electron microscope, whatever they do, they're always increasing, refining, like the telescopes. They just had a new one. Oh, so many new wonderful things. So what are they doing? They're just, through great effort and a process and knowledge, they've created a greater vision, material vision. It opens up a whole new world. It was always there. The germs were always there. The electrons were always there, on the minute stage. But now we can perceive it. So now that becomes part of our world. Now we have to take that into account in figuring out supposedly what's going on a micro level, right? So the point is, it's already there. The spiritual world is already there. It's there and it's here. All we have to do is train ourselves to be able to see it. And it's just this process of purification. Atakshi Krishna namadi nabavet graham indriyai. Sevan mukhehi jivado svayam eva sparatyadaha. And the wonderful thing is that world, which is of course Krishna and his manifestations, is not just some inanimate thing. He also wants to reveal himself to us. So he's proactive. He's waiting for us to be worthy. So this verse talks about that. It says, with our present senses, covered over by the modes of nature, we cannot perceive the quality, the significance, or any of the holy name of Krishna, its form, etc. Atakshi Krishna namadi. The adi always means etc. Name, form, qualities, pastimes. Nabave grayam indriyai. So graya means to grasp. You cannot understand, perceive this, anything about that. But isn't it wonderful? Sevo mukhehi jivado. But by beginning service, beginning with the tongue, eventually we become qualified, and the name form reveals himself to us. Spuratyadaha. Swayam eva spuratyadaha. So this is an important point in contrast to the Brahmanandis, the meditators, the yogis, and everyone else who's trying to transcend, what to speak of the karmis. They're all on, whatever they can bring to bear. Krishna is not inclined to, the jnanis especially, I'll give them liberation. He only responds to loving devotion. That's what he responds to. So you, no matter how many austerities you perform and everything like that, you're never going to realize Krishna. You may realize some yogic power. You may actually go to Brahman for some time and be liberated. The karmis can achieve all kinds of material things, But ultimately, it's all shramaiva hi kevalam. Anyone know what that phrase means besides mahatma?
Useless waste of time.
Yeah. Shramaiva hi kevalam. All you get for it is the effort. you know, thanks a lot. You know, I just spent lifetimes trying to get liberation, and all you get is, yeah. That's, you know, Aruha Krishna. Parang padang tata patam jado anadvita yushmarangriya. This is the demigods praying to Krishna in the womb, second chapter, 10th canto. And they're saying that besides the bhaktas, the devotees, there are these others who think themselves liberated, but they're not actually purified. That's, you know, avishuddha buddhiya. The intelligence is not purified. And so, because they're averse to your lotus feet, and so even though a few, very few, by the process of will and austerity and repressing the senses, and you know, may transcend and come to the level of Brahman. Parang padang is called. It's the supreme platform. Patantyadho, they fall down again because they're averse to your lotus feet. So as devotees, we have a great advantage. That's why if you take to the process, it doesn't matter what your background is, if you take it to it sincerely and really try to control the senses, try to hear your mouth, try to get up, try to distribute all of the duties that we have, then Krishna helps you. And before long, you're actually on a platform beyond all these pure yogis that are meditating for thousands of births, you know, who are averse. That's why, what does Devahuti say to her exalted son, who is? Kapiladeva. He says, Aho bata shapacho to gariyam. Yajjagagve vartate namatubhyam tepus tapuste juhuvu sasnaraya brahmanu chur namagunantiyete. How wonderful are those on the tip of whose tongues the name is vibrating. Ahobadashapacho. Even if they're dog eaters, or if they were dog eaters, even if they are dog eaters, so gariyan, they're glorious. Yajjagagre on the tip of namatubhyam. Vartate Namatum. In previous life, they must have performed all kinds of austerities, studied the Vedas, bathed in all the holy places, and were chanting your names. In other words, those who were still, you know, only doing that, performing all kinds of austerities for some other reason, they have to come to the point of chanting Hare Krishna. They don't have to take birth as dog eaters. But the idea is that if we can just get a taste for chanting the holy name, if we can just become serious chanters, you know, that's not so easy. We can do those ten offenses. But still, we got a shot at it. At least we're giving it a go, you know. And just eons of births of contamination, you know, sinful reactions are just wiped away. And we're you know, heading toward perfection. Just stay on the path. Maybe it'll take a few more births. You know, I think like that. How many trillions of births have we had? And what is 3-4 more births, you know, if it takes that? We should try to become purified in this lifetime. But sometimes the habits are so deep-seated, it's difficult. You know. But that's what this is all about. It's all in terms of the modes of nature. And we can see from already how so many things that are uninteresting to us. You know, I like to give the example, like this meat-eating thing. You know, you couldn't even think about it. And Yamunacharya was, you know, giving an example, even to the point of sex life being abominable. It was disgusting to him. Now, he was a great king. You can understand just to become a great king and be a king means you have all sense gratification at your disposal. But he developed his Krishna consciousness and he says, Yadavadi mamacheta Krishna badaravinde namanamarasa dhaman yudhitam rantamasi tadavati badanari sangame smaryamane. Ever since, I've been tasting newer and newer mellows by serving the lotus feet of Nandanandana. Then, you know, as a memory, I mean, you made me remember, comes to your mind, thoughts of sex life. It's disgusting. As much as I was disgusted by the lobster eating or cow eating business, you know? Why not? It's all, you know, it's all modes of ignorance and craziness. So that disgust is very valuable. That's real vairagya, you know. But it has to be accompanied by the raga for Krishna. That's why we're encouraged, you know, get serious. In other words, don't be afraid. There's a certain fear, I think, to be attracted to Krishna. There's a certain fear involved because you got to leave all the things that you've known behind. You know, this is why it's so hard for someone to actually join the temple And you know, because we're conditioned to try to build these dreams and hopes of what we can do in this material world and how we can have some safety, how we can have some prosperity, some sense gratification. You know, that's all built in from childhood. This is the plan for your life. You go through school, this and that, you got your family, we'll protect you, and da 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 da. It's all an illusion. It's a big construct of Maya. But it's powerful. And it's hard to give that up, you know, and dive in and really surrender. So we maintain a certain, you know, number of those things. And that's an anchor that keeps us back. But, you know, that's what we read here. You know, so many devotees, so many examples who actually took shelter of Krishna wholly and solely and were protected. Yes, there may be some difficulties along the way. There may be some tests along the way. But in every instance, Krishna comes through in the end and the devotees are exalted. That those tests make them stronger. That's a fact. So these modes of nature are always acting. And we're, you know, again, we're minute. You know, we're very infinitesimal. Just like, you know, we were singing yesterday, the Shikshastika. You know, one of the verses talks about how I've fallen into this ocean of birth and death. You know, I know, theoretically, I know, I have knowledge, I'm your eternal servant. But I've fallen into this ocean of birth and death. And I'm, you know, being whipped by the waves and, you know, birth and death constantly. So now, please pick me up, place me as an atom, consider me as an atom or speck of dust, literally, at your lotus feet. So that kind of attitude, that sense of helplessness, Trinada Pisuniche, you know, I'm just a piece of grass, you know, on the street. What power do you have? Anyone to step on you? You got, you know, all right, that's how I should feel. I'm helpless. You know, that's really the mood. Then you have to always call out for help. You know, please save me, keep me in your service. You know, reveal yourself to me. As soon as we think, I got my own independent power, I can figure things out. You know, then Krishna goes in the background. Now it doesn't mean that we can't marshal our whatever intelligence strength we have for Krishna's service. Arjuna was a great hero. He was empowered. You know, a wonderful warrior. But he had to feel himself paralyzed and helpless first, right, to show. Karpanya dosho pahata svabhava. I'm overwhelmed. He dropped his bow, which is a very significant thing. At one point he said, anyone even who suggests that I put my bow down, I'm going to kill him. You know, that's an act of aggression. Now he drops it because he's paralyzed. He's, in, you know. So he came to the point of helplessness, the great Arjuna. You know, because he was trying to figure everything out on his own. His plan of how he was going to be happy by not killing his relatives. You know. Dying is nothing for the Kshatriya. They accept that. But killing their loved ones, he saw that as impossible. And it was on the basis of any material calculation. You know. But he did that very thing for Krishna. And he was empowered, you know, and he led the victory. You know, and all of the Pandavas and all, you know, were that way. So that's how we can overcome these modes. And it's good, you know, read this thing and see how they're acting. Oh, now I'm seeing, I'm getting infected, I'm getting influenced by the mode of passion. Stop it. You know, let me not do those things that will increase the infection, but do those things that will end the infection. One of the points is, you know, you do something in the mode of ignorance, and then there's a manifestation of that, and that in turn tends to keep you in the mode of ignorance. You know, like if you just clean your room, and you know it doesn't matter. You clean your room somehow or other. Got to be clean. Your mother tells you to do it. Temple president, whatever. All right, got to clean. So then you walk into that environment that will help you stay in the mode of goodness. You may have done it, you know, cleaning the room may have not been done in the mode of goodness, but doing that will help you be in the mode of goodness. So this is how these things work. And once we're on, you know, really purified, naturally you'll want to do everything that's in purity, in the mode of goodness. Okay, we kind of got over a little bit. Any questions, comments? Yes, Prabhu.
Yeah, thank you.
Hare Krishna.
You had mentioned being in a Krishna conscious bubble.
Yeah.
And I'm curious if there's like a nice way to to tell if you're actually in the bubble so that you can be safe in going out and not just Krishna conscious charging in the mind.
Well, it's, you know, if you're actually thinking of Krishna, if you're, you know, chanting, really, you know, the bubble is good analogy, but better is kind of the idea that the best defense is a good offense. Like, why are you, you know, like the Hari Nam party is protected. You know, there have been thousands of them all over the world. And if someone is really chanting Hare Krishna, then basically you can go anywhere, you know. And if you're able to chant, you're not going to... Because you're giving Krishna, you know. You're creating transcendental mode. It's even said that after the party is gone, there's the effect lingers. I think Prabhupada said that, you know, on the street where we go, there's an effect. You can see that. Yeah, you can see that. You know, because everything, you know, the consciousness, everything is depends on consciousness. You know, the people, you walk down the street, no matter what street it is, you go to the beach, you know. What's really happening is you know, what's really affecting is the consciousness of everybody there, the enjoying mood, the sex mood, you know, on the beach and everything. You know, and that's, you know, that's what's there. So if you're giving Krishna kind, that's the surest way to stay transcendental. You know, because your intelligence, you know, is engaged, say, in book distribution. So you're going to be protected. Lord Chaitanya is going to protect you. You know, he's pleased. Krishna is the one who takes you out of the modes and keeps you out of the modes if he's pleased. So that's why, you know, wearing the devotional clothes is so important. You know, that affects your consciousness and affects others, how they relate to you, how you see yourself. You know, all of these things help to keep us stronger. Thank you very much. Go ahead, everyone.
You mentioned this point about escaping eating lobster, and I couldn't help thinking that wouldn't it have been better to have escaped eating beef rather than escaped eating lobster?
It probably would have.
Relatively.
Yeah. I think, you know, as a just an ordinary kid growing up in New York, who had any, you know, ability to resist that? But one thing, I don't know. I think other kids do this too. I didn't eat chicken, you know, because you can see the form. That's the thing. You know, you can see these poor lobster. You know, I mean, my parents were nice people. You know, and there's this poor lobster getting boiled. Doesn't he feel any pain? I know. I hurt my finger when I got a little. You know, drop some tea on it or something. So maybe that's what it was.
Just more in your face.
Yeah, yeah. It's just like this poor, you know, like I didn't eat chicken because I saw the chicken for a long time. I mean, the hamburger, you don't see, you know, forget about it. The whole thing, I just forget. To bring down that curtain, you know, so that you don't have to think about the implications of your activities. And that curtain is brought down by the material desire. Avritam ganametana ganan. Kama covers your knowledge, you know. So I wasn't so covered that I would see that. You know, that's the idea. All glories to Prabhupada.